Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, you can open them up to the book of Acts. If you weren't here last week, we actually kicked off our new series titled The Force Awakens. Yes, I was very excited about this title. It's a funny title that I stole from the latest Star Wars movie that just came out in December. And even though it's a funny play on words, I mentioned last week that I really believe it's a perfect title for this series. Because the book of Acts is where we see the power of the Holy Spirit, this amazing force, right, of God poured out upon the followers of Jesus. And it's in the book of Acts that we saw the force of God awaken in the hearts of His followers. So I think this is a great title for this series. And so I'm excited about diving into this series here in the book of Acts. I also shared last week that we planted the church 4 years ago. Last week was our anniversary celebration. And what's really funny is the year before that, our Foursquare president of our denomination had asked us every month to read through the book of Acts. And so leading up to our launch, I had been reading through the book of Acts. And you can't read through the book of Acts and not get excited about what God did in the early church and how He moved. And so I wanted to preach on the book of Acts right from the beginning. I was like excited. And every time I thought, okay, you know, here, this next series, I'm going to preach on Acts, God would say, no, not yet. And then it would come again, you know, I'd finish a series and I'd be trying to figure out what was next. Oh, maybe the book of Acts. And God would say, no, not yet. But it was a couple months ago as I was just praying. It was up actually late, having a difficult time sleeping, and just kind of started praying before the Lord. And it was in that moment the Lord started to lead me to Acts. And the Lord said, now it's time. It's time to walk through that. He said, you know, I felt like the Lord said in January, you can begin walking through the book of Acts. And so I am excited about this book that we're going to walk through. And so we started last week and we kicked things off with the beginning of Acts 1, where we see Jesus ascend up into heaven. But before He went, He gave a command to His disciples, to His followers, right? He gave a command to go into Jerusalem and what? To wait. To wait for the gift that God was going to give them. And so last week we talked about waiting on the Lord. And we talked about why it's important to wait, you know, on His timing. Because we can so often get ahead of God. And so we have to trust in Him. We have to listen to Him. And we have to wait in His timing. And we talked about, you know, when He says, wait, wait. When He says, go, go, right? So we have to trust in His timing. Well, this week as we wrap up the first chapter of Acts, we're going to look at what the disciples did while they were waiting. Because as I mentioned last week, waiting doesn't mean just twiddling your thumbs and doing nothing, right? Because that's what a lot of us, oh yeah, I'm just waiting on the Lord. I'm just waiting for what He wants me to do, right? I mean, that's a lot of times what we do, but that's not, waiting isn't just twiddling your thumbs. The word here, it means to expect with hope. It's this active kind of waiting as we seek the Lord with great faith and with great anticipation. It's knowing that God is at work in us, right? And as we wait on Him, He will guide us and direct us to live out the lives that He's calling us to live. Now the disciples, they're going and they're waiting and they have no idea what was coming, right? They have no idea what's about to happen in their lives. But if you're familiar with the book of Acts, you know that it's actually in chapter 2 that the followers of Jesus experienced an outpouring of the Holy Spirit that they've never experienced before. The force awakened in them, all right? God moved in their lives and they were changed forever. As a matter of fact, at that moment, the world was changed forever, right? The disciples experienced spiritual breakthrough. This amazing spiritual breakthrough as they waited on the Lord. And I believe that God wants all of us to experience these kinds of spiritual breakthroughs in our own lives. And so I guess the question is, how can we make sure that we're making room for this to happen? How can we make sure we're giving the Holy Spirit the opportunity to move in our lives, to have these spiritual breakthroughs? Again, I think it goes back to last week and this idea of waiting and trusting in the Lord, trusting in His timing. And I believe that there are some things that we can learn from the early church when it comes to this idea of how to wait and how to prepare for these spiritual breakthroughs that God wants to bring into our lives. And so if you have your Bibles this morning, we're going to finish up the last part of Acts chapter 1 and see what it is that we can actually learn from the disciples in this section of Scripture. So beginning in verse 12 of chapter 1, we're going to read through the end of it. This is what it says. It says, "Then they returned to Jerusalem." They did what God or what Jesus told them to do, right? To go back to Jerusalem and to wait. So they returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day's walk from the city. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present were Peter, John, James, and Andrew, Philip, and Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon, the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. Verse 15, "In those days Peter stood up among the believers, a group numbering about 120, and said, 'Brothers, the Scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke long ago through the mouth of David concerning Judas.'" This is the one who betrayed Jesus. "Who served as a guide for those who arrested Jesus. He was one of our number and shared in this ministry. With the reward he got for his wickedness, Judas bought a field there. He fell headlong. His body burst open and all his intestines spilled out. Everyone in Jerusalem heard about this, so they called that field in their language Akeldama, that is, field of blood. 4, said Peter, "It is written in the book of Psalms, 'May his place be deserted. Let there be no one to dwell in it. And may another take his place of leadership. Therefore, it is necessary to choose one of the men who have been with us the whole time the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from John's baptism to the time when Jesus was taken up from us. For one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection.' So they propose two men." So they're replacing Judas here, okay? So they propose two men: Joseph, called Barsabbas, also known as Justice, and Matthias. "Then they prayed, 'Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us which of these two you have chosen to take over this apostolic ministry, which Judas left to go where he belongs.' Then they cast lots, and the lot fell to Matthias. So he was added to the 11 apostles." And we conclude the book of Acts 1 there. Now, as we look at these verses, I think that there are three things that I see the followers of Jesus doing as they waited on the Lord. Three things that I really believe prepared them for the spiritual breakthrough that they were about to experience here in Acts 2. Three things that I believe can help us here today prepare for spiritual breakthrough in our own lives. The first one is mentioned in verse 14. It says this. It says, "They all met together." Now the thing is when we read that, most of us probably just read right past that phrase. But when we do, we miss out on the first thing that I believe prepared them for spiritual breakthrough, which is this: they participated in life together. They participated in life together. And the idea used here isn't just coming together once a week like we do here for church on Sundays. It's not just this once a week kind of thing. The original text implies a much deeper level of connection among His people. It's this idea of doing life together. It's not just meeting in a building and then afterwards going our separate ways. That's what church is a lot throughout our nation. It's this, we come together, sometimes we don't even talk to anybody, and then when we're done, we just go our separate ways. That's not what this is talking about here. Instead, it's a true and honest connection between one another, where people learn to be authentic, where we share life's joys with one another, but we also share our hurts and our pains and our struggles. The disciples here and the followers of Jesus at this time, they were doing life together. They were coming together. They were creating community with one another. This is much like our men's and women's groups that we've been talking about that are meeting here throughout the week. Men and women coming together to connect with one another. You see, something happened in the hearts of the disciples and followers after the resurrection. They were different. They had seen the risen Savior. There was something different about them. They weren't the same. Remember the arguments that went on about who was better, right? Who would be first in the kingdom? Remember how the disciples used to argue about these things? Remember the high ambitions they had for themselves? And remember the heights from which they fell? Peter being one of those, I will never, right? I will never turn on you. And what did he do? He denied Jesus three times. The heights from which they had fallen. You see, in these days leading up to Pentecost, it was different. They met together, and instead of talking about who was better, they were learning how to do life together. Learning how to be real, how to share their failures, how to walk in forgiveness, how to encourage one another and lift each other up instead of lifting themselves up. You see, I believe we were made for community. We were made for connection. Our hearts hunger for those deep, authentic relationships that Jesus had in mind when He prayed the night before He was betrayed, right? When He prayed for His followers to what? To be one. Here's the thing. It's easy for us to come to church every week and still be alone. We need community. We need connection beyond these walls. As I was studying, I came across a quote from a book called The Safest Place on Earth, which I haven't read, but I read some stuff about it, and I'm really interested in this book, The Safest Place on Earth. It's about relationships. It's about community. But this is what the book said. It said, a central task of community is to create a place that is safe enough for the walls to be torn down, safe enough for each of us to own and reveal our brokenness. Only then can the power of connection, or the power of connecting, do its job. Only then can community be used of God to restore our souls. And I love that quote. But this sort of community doesn't happen on Sunday mornings, especially when we're hurrying off after the service for whatever reasons. We got to go here, we got to go there, we got to watch the playoffs, okay? Pastor, you're going a little long, you better hurry up, right? You know, whatever it is. And I'm just as bad, because sometimes I try to hurry through my own messages so I can get out of here to watch the playoffs or watch football in general. But the kind of community doesn't happen when we're just coming and then we're hurrying off. This kind of community happens when we commit to spending time together. Spending time growing in authentic relationship with one another. Actually realizing that that person across the way, that they're okay. They're actually pretty cool. They're much like us. They have positives, they have negatives. You know, we all have these things in our life. And that's what the disciples were doing here. And I believe it was this kind of living that prepared them for spiritual breakthrough, for this amazing move of the Spirit that we're about to see in Acts chapter 2. The first thing they did to prepare was participate in life together. And I think it's the same thing for us. We have to learn to participate in life together. The next thing that helped them prepare for spiritual breakthrough is found actually in that same verse. It says they all joined together. That was the first part. And then the second part, constantly in prayer. You see, the second thing they did that prepared them for spiritual breakthrough was they spent time regularly in prayer. Now, I don't know how many of you have ever stayed in a hotel, a nice hotel, or somewhere that had room service. But if you have and if you've used it's actually a pretty cool thing, right? You know, all you have to do is pick up a phone and somebody's ready and willing to, you know, bring you whatever you want, you know, whether it's breakfast or lunch or dinner or a late night milkshake, you know, whatever it may be, they're at your beck and call and they will deliver it to your door. You can like lay there and do nothing and just have it brought to you. Like I said, it's a pretty cool thing, right? You know, especially when you're on vacation, it's nice. It's like, yeah, I don't want to go anywhere. I just want to lay here and I'll have them bring it to me. It's a cool thing. And I talk about this idea of room service because this is the concept many of us have when it comes to prayer, right? We've created this idea where God is this divine bellhop in the sky that we can just call upon when we need something. Oh, hey, God, I got myself in trouble over here. I need you right now. Can you hurry up? Can you bring me this? Can you take care of this because of my mishaps, right? We tend to make God this divine bellhop. But this is not what I'm talking about when I talk about prayer. If we take a moment and again consider the situation of those that were gathered here in the upper room, as I mentioned earlier, Jesus had told them to go and to wait. And again, this waiting in the biblical sense implies this idea of seeking God, seeking after God, and seeking His desires for their lives. You see, this is why their prayers were so important. As they prayed and they sought, Lord, what is it? What is this gift? What is it you're bringing? What is it you want us to do? Jesus is gone. We don't know what to do now. We need to hear from you. We need your guidance and direction. And I'm sure there were all sorts of prayers being prayed, but I imagine a lot of the prayers were simply that, just seeking God's guidance and direction for what comes next. How often are we just seeking God's guidance and direction for what comes next? It's this kind of regular prayer that prepares us for spiritual breakthrough, for those spiritual breakthroughs that God wants us to experience in our lives, that the disciples and His followers experienced in Acts chapter 2. And I believe this. I believe this is the kind of prayer that has made this church, Dallas Foursquare Church, what it is today. I've shared with you before, but about 3 months before we launched the church, we started our Tuesday morning prayer meeting. Small group of us just coming together and praying for this church. And so for the past 4 years, we just celebrated 4 years and 3 months, almost every Tuesday, we've had some holidays and different times where we've missed, but almost every Tuesday, we've met here and we've prayed for this church. We prayed for whatever the prayer request. You fill out those cards, those prayer requests, we lift those up every Tuesday morning. We pray for those prayer requests that we have, but more importantly, we just pray for God's will to be done in this church and in our lives. It's His church. I say that all the time because I believe that. It's not my church. It's not our church. It's His church. And we want to make sure that we're doing and being what and who God wants us to be. And I truly believe that we've experienced the blessings that we've experienced as a church because of great people faithfully coming together and praying. And I believe the lives that have been touched in this church, we have some amazing stories in this church. And someday I want to do videos of some of these amazing things that God has done in this church in people's lives. But those amazing testimonies, we heard them a couple weeks ago as we had Testimony Sunday. Those amazing stories, I believe, happen because of these times of prayer. Regular time in prayer allows us to hear and to discern the words of the Lord. It helps us to know what it is He's calling us to do, and it opens the door for spiritual breakthrough to happen in our lives. The first thing the disciples did, they participated in life together. The second thing that they did was they spent regular time in prayer. And the third thing they did was this, is they studied God's Word. Now I get this from verse 16 where Peter stands up and he says, "Brothers and sisters, the Scripture had to be fulfilled in which the Holy Spirit spoke long ago through David concerning Judas, who served as a guide for those who arrested Jesus." You see, for Peter to know what the Scripture said, he obviously had to be reading the Scriptures. He had to be studying the Scriptures, because we know Peter was an unschooled, ordinary man. He didn't know this from the past. He had been reading the Scriptures and studying the Scriptures. And it was through his studying of the Scriptures that he had discovered something that needed to be done. He shares that what Judas did was necessary to fulfill the Scripture, because I'm sure a lot of them were lost. Well, what just happened? But they go back and they study God's Word, and it shows them, oh, the Scriptures said this was going to happen. The Scriptures showed us that this needed to be fulfilled. And he offers some Scripture to back up his point. And it's because of this that they determine that they need to replace Judas. And that's what we see happening here at the end of chapter 1, as they bring Matthias on to be the 12th disciple. And Peter discovers this because he was reading and studying the Word. You see, it's important for us to realize that God gave us the Bible for a reason. There's a reason that He gave us this Bible. And it wasn't just so that us pastors have something to talk about on Sunday mornings. Right? That's not what it's for. You know, sometimes people think, well, I don't need to open it. The pastor does, and he tells me what's in it. But I give you just a glimpse of what's in it. Right? There's so much more. He gave it to us. He gave us the Scriptures to guide us and to help us live the lives He called us to live. Many of us are familiar with Psalm 119:105. You may not be familiar with the address there, but when I say these words, you'll hear them. It says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Your word, the Word of God, the Bible, it is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. It guides us, it directs us. The question is, though, are we reading it? Are we opening it up? Are we allowing it to be a light? Are we allowing it to be a guide for us? I was trying to do some research on this to see how many people actually read the Bible, especially from the perspective of Christians. Those that say, I'm a Christian. I love God. I serve God. How often do they read the Bible? So I was kind of trying to do some research online. I came across a poll that was taken by Lifeway Christian Resources back in August of 2012. So it's a little bit older, but it gives us an idea. And it asked the question. So the question on this survey was, how often do you read the Bible? And this was given to only people who said, I'm Christian. I love God, I serve God, I'm a Christian, okay? And so, how often do you read the Bible? 19% said every day. Every day I read the Bible. 19%. 26% said a couple times a week. 14% said once a week. 22% said at least once a month. And 18% said rarely, if ever. 18%. Now, here's my thing. On these polls, people generally tend to kind of exaggerate, right? You know, if you read it like once a week, you'd say like 2 to 3 times a week on average. Yeah, really. Oh, I've read it. You know, last week I read it 5 times, so that would average out, you know, but really when you break it down, right? You know what I'm saying? So I wonder if even that number, 18%, is correct. But that's the number that got me. 18% that don't even open it up. Rarely, if ever, even look at the Bible. And it gets me because how can we expect to know and live the lives that God is desiring us to live if we don't read His Word? If we don't know His Word. And now I know that there are people that can't read and there's some different things and God can work through that. But if you can read, God's given you that ability to read for a reason. And so if you can read, God's desire is that we are opening up His Word. Matthew chapter 7. In that chapter, Jesus talks about two builders. Some of us may be familiar with those builders, right? The wise and the foolish builders. One was considered wise, one was considered foolish. It said the wise builder is like the one who hears the words of the Lord and obeys them. The foolish builder is the one that hears the same words but doesn't put them into practice. You may be familiar with that story. We know it as a little kid. You know, the wise man built his house upon the rock, the sand, and that's what it's breaking down. The foolish builder heard the same words but would not put them into practice. And here's the thing. How can we be wise and put His words into practice if we don't even know what His words are? If we don't even know what it is He's telling us to do and how He's telling us to live, if we're not reading His Word. There was a song I used to sing back in Sunday school in second or third grade. And the reason I remember it was second or third grade because I remember a specific Sunday school teacher that used to sing. It was a husband and wife and couple, and I remember that he used to play his guitar and he would sing the song. Now, the first part of the song you might be familiar with. Most people, when I sing the second part, they're like, they never did that part. So I don't know if he made it up or what. But the first part, most of you are familiar with. It's a song. It's a happy day, right? You know, it's a happy day, and I thank God for the weather. It's a happy day, and I'm living it for my Lord. It's a happy day. Things are gonna get better. I'm living each day by the promises of God's Word. You know, many of you, maybe you remember that a little bit. I don't know. That was Sunday school. I remember that song. He would sing this song. But then he would have this other part of the song. Sometimes on Sundays we'd be like, I'm not hearing you guys. Is it really a happy day? Maybe for you guys it's a grumpy day, right? And so he would start to sing this song. It's a grumpy day, and I don't like the weather. It's a grumpy day, and I'm living it for myself. You know, it's a grumpy day, and things aren't going to get better. And then he's singing this. I'm living each day with the Bible on my shelf. Right? Any of you guys, I don't know, maybe I'm the only one that song. And now the way I just sing that, I got to drink some water here. How those singers that sing like that all the time just destroy my voice in a few seconds there. But when you think about the difference here in this song between a happy day and a grumpy day, the end of both songs says it all, right? Are we living each day by the promises of God's Word? Are we living by these things? Do we know it? Have we read it? Do we understand it? Or are we living each day with the Bible on the shelf? What a difference one makes from the other. Not only does it change the perspective of our days, right? It gives opportunity for spiritual breakthrough in our lives when we're reading God's Word. The disciples and the apostles were on the verge of an amazing spiritual breakthrough. God was about to do something amazing. Now we know that. They didn't know this. They were there waiting on the Lord. And I believe that these three things we talked about played a big part in that spiritual breakthrough that was about to happen. They gathered together. They participated in life together. They spent time regularly in prayer, not just the, you know, the bellhop kind of prayer, God, I need this, help me from this. Lord. No, it was, Lord, we are seeking You. We want to live the lives You've called us to live. Show us, guide us, help me to be who You've called me to be. And they studied God's Word. They were opening up the Scriptures. They were looking at what had been said. What did Jesus say? What is it that God is saying to us? When we look at the New Testament, there are some amazing... When we look at the Gospels and the book of Acts, there are some amazing things in here of how we're called to live, the life God desires us to walk each and every day. And I believe if we begin to participate in these things, life together, if we're spending time in prayer, if we're studying God's Word, then we too can experience spiritual breakthrough in our lives. Those moments where God pours out His Spirit upon us and we see amazing things happen in and through our lives. God wants to do that. The book of Acts is an amazing book of the outpouring of God's Spirit and an amazing flow and movement of Christianity throughout the world. And if you read that sign on the back as you walk in here, it says Jesus Christ is what? The same yesterday, today, and forever. It wasn't that, oh, well, God just moved in that time. No, God wants to move today in our lives through us. The problem is we get so busy with life that we can't come together and hang out with other people because I'm too busy. I can't spend time in prayer because I'm too busy. I can't study God's Word because I'm too busy. And I'm not pointing the fingers here because I can do this too. I'm only here every Sunday because I have to be, I think, sometimes. I might miss a few times if I didn't have to be here. Because I can be selfish myself too. I can do these things. But the reality is, if we really want to see spiritual breakthrough in our lives, these are some things we got to be willing to do. Seeking the Lord and allowing God to move in and through our lives. I'm excited about walking through the book of Acts. I'm excited to see what God wants to do in and through our lives. I hope you are too. And I think as we continue to faithfully, as we're doing this, men and women, as you're coming together on Tuesdays and Thursday nights, we're doing that part. Spending time in prayer, I hope that we're doing that. We do that on Tuesday mornings, right? Studying God's Word, I know we're doing it here on Sundays, but it needs to go beyond that. But as we continue to do that, I really believe God wants to do some great things in and through our church, in and through our lives, that are going to extend out through our community. 120 people gathered in this room. Spirit of the Lord fell upon those people and it changed an entire world. We've probably got about 60 of us in here right now. Half that. Think what we could do throughout the community of Dallas and the surrounding areas if we're faithful to allow the power of God to move through us in those kind of ways. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for Your Word. We thank You for what You're doing in and through each of our lives, Lord Jesus. But we want to be people who continue to seek You and continue to see the outpouring of Your Spirit in our lives, where we continue to see spiritual breakthrough, Lord. Lord, I believe that there's something You want to do in the community of Dallas. And it's not just about Dallas Fort Worth Church, it's the churches of Dallas. But Lord, for spiritual breakthrough to happen, it starts with us individually in our own lives, Lord. And so we want to be people who are making the opportunity available, Lord, for You to do what You want to do in and through our lives, Lord Jesus. We want to be making room for the movement of the Holy Spirit to come and work through us. And Lord, it starts with some of these things here, Lord. Coming together, being, Lord, not just together and talking about things that don't matter, Lord. It's about coming together and being that iron that sharpens iron, encouraging each other, loving each other, being real with one another, being authentic, sharing our joys, but also sharing our heartaches, where we can rejoice with one another, we can mourn with one another, Lord. We can be there to support and encourage one another, Lord. It's these times that help us and prepare us. It's praying, Lord. It's taking time in our busy day just to seek You and not for those things that we need in that bellhop type way, Lord. It's just, Lord, I need You. I need You today to be my strength. I need You to live the life that You've called me to live. I need You, Lord, to face these difficulties and challenges that I'm facing, Lord. It's those prayers, Lord, to walk and live out Your will in our lives, Lord. And we need to open up the Word, Lord. What is it that You are speaking to us? We live in a world and society right now that, Lord, just wants to believe whatever anyone else is telling them. But we need to open up Your Word, Lord. What does it mean to live for You? What about these things going on in the world that the politicians say we got to do this and this, they say this and that and whatever. No, what does Your Scripture say? How do we live the lives that You've called us to live, Lord? Allow us to open up Your Word and to walk and to live these things out. Lord, we just thank You so much for what You're doing. I thank You for this church, Lord. Again, it's Your church. And as we pray every Tuesday, Lord, we just pray Your will be done, Lord. In the lives of this church and the people that come to this church, Lord. But more than that, You've given a mission statement, Lord, that says to love You, to love others, to extend Your kingdom. And that's what we as a church want to continue to do, Lord, to be people that see Your kingdom extended throughout our community, throughout this world, Lord. And so we just pray You continue to show us, guide us, direct us. How do we do that, Lord? How do we walk in these things? Let these be a start for that, Lord. We just thank You for these things, Lord. Allow these things to hit each of us where we're at, Lord. What are the things You're specifically speaking to each of us individually today, Lord? May we take those things and begin to work on them to become the men and women of God that You've called us to be, Lord. We give these things to You. We pray them, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hope you're encouraged. I hope you're as excited as me to walk through the book of Acts and what God's going to do. I encourage you this week, start thinking about how are you doing in these areas? How are you doing in the area of life together? How are you doing in the area of prayer? How are you doing in the area of Scriptures? And I don't say that to condemn or point fingers, but God, the Holy Spirit convicts us for good reasons, to challenge us to grow and become who He's called us to be. And that's my encouragement to you guys. Amen?